Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 61. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio.
Ben, how are you doing today?
Ben, I'm great. It's a beautiful autumnal Friday.
Yeah, it's this is my season for sure. This is great. So something we wanted to do is talk about Steven Spielberg and kind of where he's at. You and I actually recorded a review of Bridge of Spies several weeks ago, and that recording died. So we thought it might be a good idea to kind of recap some of our thoughts on that, but then also kind of look forward to what Spielberg has coming up, and also kind of look back and see what he's been doing here recently. I mean, on our 50th episode, both you, me, and Graham all had Steven Spielberg, I believe, if I remember correctly, as our number one director of all time. And I think he's always worth talking about. And this year, it seems like we have talked about him a bit with that episode, and also with the release of Jaws, and then, of course, incidentally talking about Jurassic World and those series of movies. I guess we can just kind of start talking a little bit about Bridge of Spies. And I don't think we need to go full spoilers, since I don't think many people have seen that movie. So maybe we can kind of dodge any kind of big plot points, but hopefully we can still kind of discuss what we thought about the movie and what Spielberg brought to the table there. You liked Bridge of Spies, is that correct?
Yeah, I really did. It reinforced my feeling on Spielberg that I expressed on that top three directors episodes for sure, because, you know, he's a guy who, like many of his, let's say, contemporaries, could just cruise at this point in his career, and some of them do, and some of them, like Spielberg and Scorsese and Woody Allen, still have a vigor and energy to keep going and challenging themselves creatively and perhaps try things differently at this point when it feels like they've kind of done it all. And I wouldn't say that Bridge of Spies is anything that is radically different in terms of storytelling and style that Spielberg has done before, but it, to me, just felt like another great Steven Spielberg movie. And there are elements of it that are certainly different that we could chew on, especially when it comes to the style of it, perhaps. But for me, a lot of Spielberg's work centers around this idea that it's important that we as human beings, and in some of his films, we as Americans, and this one specifically, but we as human beings just do the right thing. It's important that you treat people well and that you have common core values that hopefully help you to be a good person and perhaps inform and influence other people to do the same. And that is, you know, really apparent in several of the films that he has made, you know, some, you know, perhaps louder than others, maybe in something like Lincoln, which seems very obvious, but you could look at something like Munich, where that message is a little bit muddled when you get caught up in some of the things that you're doing that could compromise those kinds of values and your integrity. But in Bridge of Spies, it's very much the message of the movie that you be a good person and that you uphold American values. And I think Tom Hanks' character is a great representation of that idea. And it is one of my favorite Tom Hanks performances in recent memory. And I said this on our Lost review, that this performance could be a top five Tom Hanks performance that could just go totally unnoticed and that nobody will ever talk about, just in terms of how humble and seamless it really is from an actor of his caliber, who has been loud in the past but is in no way loud in this movie. But I think he, especially with this character and performance, drives home that message that rings true to a lot of late Spielberg, but a lot of his filmography in general.
Yeah, there's with this and with Munich and with Lincoln, there's this this thing that he seems to be doing, Spielberg, where he is basically using characters as stand-ins for kind of national values, In Munich, it was more for Israel, but then, of course, in Lincoln and here, it's for America, and dealing with, you know, okay, how do these individuals react to how they're treated or how the people around them are treated, and how does that reflect on who they are, and also, you know, that as a metaphor for, you know, the national identity that they're in the middle of. So, yeah, I feel like that's definitely something that he's kind of been playing with. He's slowly become this kind of old master of kind of not morality plays, but just good drama. And Bridge of Spies just plays with that so much. There's an element of Bridge of Spies that I feel like you mentioned that Tom Hanks is kind of invisibly great in this movie and potentially forgotten. But I think in general, Spielberg as a director is somebody that I just don't understand why more people aren't kind of freaking out about the craft here. I mean, if, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson releases a movie or a Coen Brothers release a movie, people just talk about the craft. People talk about the story, yes, but it's almost like the directing is its own thing. And I feel like the shot selection and the blocking and the just the craft that Spielberg and his team put on display in Bridge of Spies is so next level that I'm just staggered that nobody seems to be talking about it more. I mean, we're a month out from that movie now, and it seems like it's almost kind of been forgotten. I mean, we'll see if it, you know, gets an Oscar push or anything like that, but it does seem like it's just quietly come and gone. And yet it has some of these cinematic moments that should only be experienced on the big screen and should only be can only be pulled off by Steven Spielberg, by somebody like him with his talent. There's a shot late in the movie that is basically a visual summing up of the entirety of Tom Hanks's character. And I had to, in the theater, I had to crane my neck and look from left to right to kind of put this shot together in my head. And I just thought about that in the moment. I was like, man, if I saw this on an iPad or even on a computer screen or even on my TV, I'm losing something. You know, I'm losing a little bit of that film grammar. I'm losing some of that intention. And it's just, I don't know, do you see what I'm talking about in terms of, it seems like we've got this big screen filmmaker that makes things for the big screen and is one of the guys that is still actively doing that, and we may be overlooking him?
Yeah, perhaps. Spielberg is probably the most important big screen filmmaker that has perhaps ever worked in the industry, and that is, again, reflected in a movie that seemingly is smaller in scale in Bridge of Spies, a movie about guys talking. Well, the same was true with Lincoln. You know, this is a movie about guys in a room talking, and that's it. But with his, you know, with his most of his career-long collaborator and cinematographer, Janusz Kamiński, I think he puts story first and in turn character, but just below that, it's what you just mentioned, shot selection, right? And he and Janusz Kamiński, just throughout their entire careers, have made every shot count. And that is something that I personally go into anticipating with the Spielberg movie, is that he's going to make every single shot absolutely matter. And whether it's still, you have to pay attention to the composition, and Spielberg's the guy who likes to move the camera too, and you better be paying close attention, and even if it's still, even if it's not moving, then he's at work there when, again, A, with composition, and B, with focus, and these are things that you have to pay close attention to, and sometimes they're right in your face, and sometimes you'll blink and you'll miss it. And, you know, for me, down the stretch, when they're actually on what you called in that podcast, the actual Bridge of Spies, in the movie Bridge of Spies, there's a great shot between Tom Hanks and this actor, Mark Rylance, who plays this character, Abel, when they're on the bridge, and again, we're not going to get into crazy spoilers here, but there's just a moment that they share between characters, between men, that really define them and say a lot about their characters. And it involves Tom Hanks looking at Abel and Abel looking off screen. And there's a short rec focus to sort of give each man their own moment with each other. And to me, it was just a major part of the movie that really sort of gave me a really positive feeling. And it was just the simplest shot in the world that where so much thought obviously went into it. And, you know, we could go into the more stylish stuff where camera is moving and you can kind of, I don't know, there's perhaps more of an exciting feeling in charge that might give off, but the simpler stuff is really where Spielberg and Kaminsky make it count.
Yeah, absolutely. They, like you said, this is a movie that's, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people kind of wrote it off as potentially boring, but I think it's so exciting because of the way the performances are and the, like you said, the shots and editing and the way it's just put together is so exciting, but also the script and Tom Hanks' performance. So it does end up being a very exciting kind of edge of your seat movie. There's a secondary plot, which I kind of expected to be a bigger plot, of the spy plane. One of those stylish shots you're talking about, there's this one where it's a super wide angle on all of these camera lenses that are on the bottom of the spy plane. And it's one of those, it's just such a Spielberg thing where he's, you know, he's in the left-hand part of the frame, there's all these lenses, and then in the right-hand, there's the people looking at them. It's taken me a month to kind of figure out, like, okay, why, you know, why is he lingering on this so much? And then I think I realized the other day that just looking at the news, this could have been a commentary on surveillance and on drones, and this device that they're looking at was this kind of ominous precursor to drone technology, and it's this crazy super wide angle shot where the lenses are all up front and there's like five of them arranged together and the characters are talking about it. And it's just one of those little touches where it's a moment of exposition, but he doesn't let it just sit there. He pulls so much out of it. And I think even more than Lincoln, this is a movie that you can put it on mute. It's so dialogue heavy, and the dialogue is great because it's written by the Coen brothers. But it's so dialogue heavy, but you could put it on mute and you would totally understand everything because of the way he uses the camera and uses editing and uses staging and blocking. I think about the first time that I believe it's the first time that Mark Rylance and Tom Hanks are in a room together, or no, maybe it's after some bad news happened, and the camera, he goes into the room that they're going to be in, the camera follows him and lands on these three windows and on the door, and it's one wide shot, and the left-hand window frames Mark Rylance, and then the middle window is empty, and then the right-hand window frames Tom Hanks, and there's this distance between each other, and it's this moment of defeat, and I saw it in the trailer, and sure enough, you just look at the shot, and you know where these guys are at and what's going on, and the fact that this guy, that Spielberg is still doing this at this point in his career is kind of, I don't know, I think it's insane, I think it's worth talking about. I mentioned that subplot of the spy plane, there's this one, it's in the trailer, where the spy plane gets shot down. It brings up something, I guess, that's kind of worth talking about as we get kind of into the late, the modern Spielberg conversation, which is, I'm not so sure that the guy that, you know, made Jurassic Park and brought us into the CGI revolution, I don't know if he's the best guy out there that works with CGI, if that makes any sense. I feel like that sequence is pretty nicely put together, but I feel like it stands out, and I feel like part of that is because of the CGI. And I know that that's a problem a lot of people have with Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull as well. So, I mean, in terms of what Spielberg is doing now, do you see a disconnect with kind of the event films that are out there? Like, do you, and if so, do you, what do you attribute that to? Do you think he's just not as interested in that, or do you think it's just a, an industry thing or a timing thing? Does that make, am I asking a question here?
No, I think part of it is that Spielberg has clearly tried to reinvent himself in ways as a filmmaker, and perhaps has strayed a bit from that event effects driven, the genres that require things like that. And he's returned to it, like you said, with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and there's this one scene in Bridge of Spies, which for the most part for me, the effects worked fine. It was really more about the scene itself and the whole sequence, which like you said, is well staged and filmed, but in my opinion, when it comes to like telling this story, I didn't know if it was totally necessary and something that could have been told in a few lines of dialogue rather than actually seeing the scene itself. But that said, I thought that I was impressed with some of the effects, and yeah, some of them kind of stuck out. They did in the trailer, as a matter of fact. But I like the Spielberg who makes non-effects driven work like Munich and Lincoln, but there are, I can say definitively, effects shots in those movies that help the movie. But, I also like later Spielberg, like Minority Report, where the special effects are a huge part of the storytelling and the design of the film. So, I've seen him obviously dabble here and there with it, in whether it's a movie that requires a lot of it or one that requires a pretty seamless use of it. But yeah, I have seen a sort of a departure, especially in I find that intriguing about what Spielberg has done in the latter portion of his career, whether it's with this or War Horse or the movies that we've mentioned before, where it's more about practical effects, it's less about the big slam bang stuff that we had seen prior to that. But also, I mean, when you think about it, he perfected CGI in 1993, right,
yeah,
with Jurassic Park. And it honestly, I mean, it has gotten better in ways, but, I mean, you look at Jurassic World, for that matter, and, maybe this is me just being a nostalgist and someone who just prefers his original film, but the effects to me, just based on the eye test, are better in Jurassic Park than they are in Jurassic World. And it probably has more to do with how a director like Spielberg visualizes his film overall. It's not necessarily that you have the effects. Perhaps the effects are technically better in Jurassic World, and an effects guy might tell us that. But, it also matters how you light those effects, right? And the shadows that you put them in to maybe give them more of a finer quality. And that's something that Spielberg is obviously better at, And so I appreciate him for that, but what I really like about him is that he doesn't need all of that, and he's kind of been there, done that, and perhaps is over it. And that doesn't mean we're not going to get more super effects driven work from him, but if he wants to make movies about men and women talking in rooms, if he wants to make movies about aliens attacking Earth, if he wants to go into space, I don't really care. He can kind of do what he wants.
Yeah, okay, that actually brings up a personal question. I mean, a lot of us, I think everybody agrees, I think even people that aren't huge Spielberg fans are just floored by his run from, Sugar Land to, E.T. in that, or Temple of Doom, or, there's that late 70s, early 80s Spielberg that everybody kind of agrees. It was just like this guy was changing things and was just on fire. Do you feel any kind of, would you want him to try to recapture any of that? Or are you okay with him doing whatever he wants? Or do you want him to kind of stay in the kind of the Frank Capra drama mold that he's in right now?
Well, you can call this a mold, and I guess there is a way that we could group a handful of these movies together and you know, categorize them and set them apart from what you're talking about. But again, going back to that feeling, that Spielberg feeling that I get, whether it's Raiders of the Lost Ark or E.T. or War Horse and Bridge of Spies, I think the thing that he explores here and that has been consistent with all of his work has been this sense of hope and idealism. And to me, that's what makes me feel good about watching his movies, is that there's somebody on his level who has that spark of hope that he wants to try to spread to other people. Again, going back to that idea of, I want to try to be the best person that I can be and do the right thing and hope that informs other people to do the same thing. And I think you find that in Close Encounters and you find that in Lincoln, right? I mean, it's all throughout his career. And no, I don't necessarily want him to try to make Close Encounters and E.T. again, because he made those and will always have those, and he did it, and he doesn't have to prove himself anymore. He doesn't have to reprove himself, let's say. I'm fine with him doing what he wants to do. And what I'm sort of okay with is that I don't love every Spielberg movie, especially the past several years. I don't care for Tintin, personally. I don't love Catch Me If You Can, but I love more than I don't, right? And it's okay. And if he wants to experiment a little, he has that right, just like Francis Ford Coppola does for having just done The Godfather and Apocalypse Now. I mean, he can make as many Tetros and Twix as he wants to. He'll always be Francis Ford Coppola. But Spielberg, as we know, is working at a much faster rate and is cranking movies out, cranking a lot more of them out and trying many different things and staying within this mainstream level of storytelling. And I personally love the different things that he tries, because, you know, Munich for me is maybe top 8, top 7 Spielberg all time, which is a big deal for me as a major Spielberg fan. And he does things in Munich that he'd never done before when it comes to style. And whether that involved camera movement, zooming, filtering, and just the overall design of that movie. So if he can experiment and make what I consider one of his best movies ever, who am I to say, don't do that, do what you did before?
Right, yeah. And, I mean, I think I'm with you. I mean, you going back to the theme thing, one theme that I see in a lot of, in all of Spielberg, that kind of ties it all together, is this idea of home and our desire to find home or to be home, obviously E.T. and everything. But I think that's so, as a quick side note, that's so nicely illustrated in Bridge of Spies, where
oh, yeah,
there's this sequence where Tom Hanks is isolated in East Berlin, and it's just, he gets put through the ringer. And then there's this ending sequence that I feel like was a little bit, when I was watching it, felt like maybe it was superfluous, but the further away I get from the movie, and the more it just kind of reestablishes that. And again, going back to this nationalist idea, it's important for Spielberg, because, you know, where we live, the country we live in, is our home, and we it's worth protecting, and it's worth having the proper ideas about. You know, Munich is obviously, there's this amazing dialogue between a Palestinian and an Israeli in that movie, and it just talks about the desire to have a home. So I feel like that's a huge unifying theme for Spielberg, and I think Bridge of Spies carries it, carries it well. You mentioned, well, we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe Spielberg isn't as interested in effects these days, and also you mentioned that Tintin is not one of your favorites. What is your anticipation level for the BFG, which is, you know, about as I can only assume, a big, friendly, giant character of some sort? I have to assume that it's going to be effects-driven, it's a children's film, like Tintin. What is your anticipation level? Do you feel like that is a direction that you're cool with him going in, or is it not as exciting to you as if he made another spy thriller? Where are you at on the BFG?
I'll keep it very simple. My anticipation level is that it's a Steven Spielberg movie, and I'll be there no matter what. I'll be there even if the trailer doesn't do it for me. It always gets a chance. I didn't read the Roald Dahl book on which it's based, which I'm sure I regret, because I always loved his work and read it when I was in elementary school and when I got older, and it's just it's literature that we should cherish, and I can't wait to see him realize the work of an author like this on the big screen. I can't wait to see him work with Mark Rylance again. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not very familiar with the story itself and what it's about. So I kind of want to keep it that way. I have a strange rule of thumb where, and this is something we could probably explore in another episode of Film Nerds Unlimited, but I have a rule where if a movie is based on a book and I know there's going to be a movie, because I know I'm going to want to see that movie, I'm going to avoid reading the book until I see the movie, because I don't want that experience to be ruined for me, even if it's in a very small way, and that rule will apply to the BFG. So, again, to keep it very simple, it's Spielberg, so I'm there. Is that how you feel?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I found out two things recently about the movie that I knew it was coming, but I didn't like you. I've kind of stayed away. I read the book when I was a kid, and I remember liking it, as I like all Roald Dahl books. And I actually hadn't really even thought about, boy, you know, there aren't very many bad, you know, Roald Dahl adaptation movies. And the last one, if I remember correctly, is Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is a great movie. So that's exciting. But also, two things I learned recently is that one thing you mentioned, that Mark Rylance, who is amazing in Bridge of Spies, who brings this insane, quiet, you know, calm to that movie, and it's just kind of, he's, I think, as great as Spielberg and Tom Hanks are, I think that a huge portion of the success of Bridge of Spies is on Mark Rylance's shoulders. I recently found out that he's playing the BFG, which is amazing, but then also with her recent passing, I found out that Melissa Matheson, who wrote E.T., wrote the script. And at this point, it's like, wow, well, that's a fantastic actor in the starring role, a great director, a great writer, and a great source material, and, you know, a team in Matheson and Spielberg that has done this so well before in one of the all-time great movies. So it's like, well, yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. The only thing I mentioned again is Spielberg's, seemingly disinterest in effects movies. But then you look at War Horse, and the effects in that movie are incredible, seamless even. I mean, there are animatronic horses in that movie. There's CGI horses, and I would, you know, challenge anybody to find the scenes in War Horse, and that was just a few years ago. So yeah, no, I'm more excited now than I was just a week ago. And then of course after that he's got Ready Player One going, which seems to be in terms of a big. I don't even know if that's going to be like a blockbuster kind of thing. I kind of assume it is, but it seems like a kind of attempt to return to the blockbuster game, which he hasn't really attempted since Indiana Jones. Would you consider Tintin a stab at a blockbuster?
Honestly, in retrospect, I consider Tintin an experimental film. I really do. Because motion capture, just like, regardless of what Zemeckis had done at that point and what a movie like Monster House had done, which Spielberg obviously has a tie with, mocap just hasn't connected totally with people yet. And Tintin, I think, was perhaps an attempt to be the next big step to do that, and I don't think it has, and I don't think Tintin necessarily accomplished that, so I would chalk that one up to another experiment.
Yeah, I agree. The action scenes in that movie are insane, but yeah, I agree that he was taking a stab at something that he thought was a neat concept, but nobody seems to really be taking to it. And I really like that movie a lot. And just as a side note, I'm kind of curious if Peter Jackson is going to be picking that up or not, considering the general lack of interest. But also, yeah, so, I mean, it kind of, again, it kind of seems like, what is it, Ready Player One, might be kind of a shot at recapturing his place in the blockbuster landscape, or at least giving it a stab. Because again, I mean, I guess the last time he did that was Indiana Jones, and then before that would have been War of the Worlds. So it really, these last 10 years or so have been seemingly low key for Spielberg. Is there anything? I probably should ask you this, you know, ask you to have this prepared, but is there anything that you want to see him do before he retires or God forbid passes?
Oh, man, you know, what's interesting, if you just look at his filmography, and obviously sequels have been a part of it since because of the brands and franchises that he's created, but just to look at just how original a lot of his work is, even if much of it has been based on pre-existing material like literature. But, I mean, the guy is just one of a kind. And I love how everything he does, even if it's something like Tintin, really stands out, you know, among the stuff that we typically see and is obviously special for a variety of reasons. So I think, like, weirdly, the next big thing that he could do that he hasn't done is something other people have done. And I would just kind of want to see, like, what would Spielberg's version of this look like? So you and I have obviously talked a lot about James Bond in recent weeks with the release of Spectre. But I wonder what a Spielberg James Bond movie would look like. You know, maybe that's Munich in a way, and maybe that's Bridge of Spies in a way.
But, or Indiana Jones.
Or Indiana Jones, yeah, for sure. But I still think that would be a lot of fun. You know, I'm sure people are wondering, what would a Steven Spielberg comic book movie look like? And perhaps that is Indiana Jones again, or another, you know,
or Tintin
movie that, or what?
Tintin. I mean, Tintin's a comic book. That's the closest he's come to a superhero movie.
Right, or like just like a Spielberg Marvel or DC movie. You know what I mean? Like, I know that, you know, those things just on paper don't sound great, right? And you'd rather Spielberg stay in his wheelhouse, and ideally that's what I'd want him to do. Honestly, like, the question is, like, what has he not done that you'd like to see him do? I just want to see Spielberg movies, you know? And if it happens to be based on a pre-existing property, fine. If it happens to be something wholly original, even better. But, you know, I would rather see him take on some of these things that some directors that perhaps shouldn't be are doing. And you know, I'm sure Spielberg's name probably came up first, Star Wars, who knows, or whatever major property that he hasn't been a part of that you think, oh, who could fix this? All right, Steven Spielberg. But I just kind of like the fact that he has this air about him right now where it is that, you know what, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to try new things. And I think that the easy comparison is Scorsese, who seems to be doing kind of a similar thing late in his career. And it's really kind of a joy to watch as a moviegoer, as somebody who has been such a longtime fan of each of these directors, to see obviously the greatness early in their careers that really established them as these all-time great filmmakers doing so many different things, like with Scorsese, with movies like Shutter Island and Hugo, movies that you never would have expected him to make after the handful of movies that he'd made early in his career that sort of defined him as an artist. To do that at that point, to me, is just really rich. It makes for a really rich and exciting experience, and the same is very true for Spielberg with this latest batch of movies that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at some of his projects that he kind of was rumored to make but never really happened. And there's one that really stands out to me, and it's a genre that I'm honestly shocked that he hasn't tackled yet. Considering the fan of old Hollywood that he is, and specifically John Ford, there's this movie, it's a Western called Arkansas that I think Tom Cruise is actually rumored to be the lead in. that I have no idea what it's about. I can only assume it's about some sort of state. But it, the idea of Spielberg directing a Western, and honestly, the idea of Tom Cruise being in a Western, those two things are obviously it'd be hard to finance since those don't do very well. But with those two names, you kind of wonder, like, man, that, like, that would be a really great kind of, you know, we get these returns to the Western every few years. That would be a really landmark one, I would have to think. And it's just, that's just a genre again, it's such an American thing. It's such a Hollywood thing. And for Spielberg, I'm again surprised that we've come close, you know, in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, that definitely has a Western feel to it at times.
Let me change part of my answer. Okay.
Okay.
And he came close to doing this with Lincoln, right? But do you remember in Lincoln, when Lincoln goes to the battlefield and it's like kind of like going through the aftermath of it?
Yeah.
And it's obviously riding past like fallen soldiers. It made me think, and it made me think just now, like, I think a Civil War drama could be great from Steven Spielberg.
Right.
But, you know, obviously the work he's done with World War II has been unparalleled, and obviously the World War I War Horse is just such a great film, and he pays great respect to that era. And I just think that if obviously that's an aspect of American history at this point that he'd want to explore, it would be most welcome from its fans.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost kind of go down the list and just make a wish list of American history movies that you'd be great at tackling, you know, a Revolutionary War movie or maybe even a Vietnam movie. I can't imagine how that would pan out. I kind of hope that he continues on this kind of on the history route, because he really brings this stuff to life, and the way that he, you know, made Lincoln sparkle with its dialogue and kind of moral ambiguity, and again with Bridge of Spies, with just drawing the relationship so nicely. It's something that, you know, they don't make them like this anymore. Is something you hear a lot, and it's true, and it's because people don't do it well. People, you know, have trouble making history come alive on the screen for some reason. But he seems dedicated to doing that. So I'm jacked, you know, for the BFG. I'm honestly a little skeptical of Ready Player One. I'm not skeptical that it's going to be good. I'm skeptical that it's even going to happen. It just seems like one of those that he, like a robo-apocalypse that he kind of dances, and it might dance around, then eventually it just kind of falls through, for lack of interest or other reasons.
Well, would you rather see that, or would you rather him revisit Indiana Jones well one more time?
I am such a fan of Indiana Jones that I just can't refuse that possibility. And you know, obviously, every day that passes is seems like it's a little bit too late to do it. So I'm always doubtful that that's going to happen. But we talked earlier in the year about this, and I think that, you know, with the success of Mad Max Fury Road, I would love for Spielberg to get a competitive streak and, you know, take his old buddy Harrison Ford out into the desert and go make a, you know, very practically effects-driven, simple, straightforward Indiana Jones movie. In this, you know, if 70-year-old George Miller can do it, then Spielberg can do it. And, you know, just use a stunt double. Like, I don't care if I don't care if I see his face, if I see Vic Armstrong's face, like we see the stuntman in Moonraker when he's jumping out of the plane. I don't care. Just give me an awesome Indiana Jones movie and use stunts. And I think that would get back a lot of the goodwill that he lost with the fourth movie. You know, before they reboot it and cast Jai Courtney as Indiana Jones, it would at least give closure to the Spielberg and Harrison Ford, you know, section of that franchise. But that feels like a pipe dream, but it's worth saying out loud.
Here's another question. We're talking about later Steven Spielberg, right? So I'm going to start it at 2000. What's your favorite Spielberg movie since 2000?
So that would be what, AI, Minority Report, Catch Me If You Can, Lady Killers, War of the Worlds, Munich.
You said Lady Killers?
Not Lady Killers, The Terminal. The other Tom Hanks movie that everybody hates that year. Indiana Jones, War Horse, Tintin, Lincoln, Bridges of Spies. My favorite one of all of those is probably Munich, with War Horse kind of nipping at its heels. And honestly, I mean, looking at that pile there, I'm going to have to watch it another 6 million times. But Bridges of Spies is really, really kind of aging nicely in my mind. I'm not going to put it, you know, on that level yet. But you know, all of those, most of those movies for me are like a 9 out of 10. I think Catch Me If You Can, despite what you think, is supremely underrated and fantastic. Minority Report is great. I think even the ones in there that aren't well regarded, AI, I definitely need to revisit. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I think The Terminal is severely underrated, and it's just a really sweet movie. Obviously, I'm on the record as saying I like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Yeah, I'd have to say Munich.
Yep, that's the answer. You're correct.
Okay, all right, well, we're done. Yeah, I mean, do you agree, though? I mean, what are your, like, if you had to pick three great late Spielberg titles that you think everybody should watch. If somebody said, Spielberg's washed up, he lost it. Like, what three movies do you pick out of that group and say, no, watch these and shut your dirty mouth?
I'm going to exclude Bridge of Spies because I've only seen it one time. But
fair.
I would go Munich, Minority Report, and War Horse.
Okay. Yeah, because you get a sample of everything. You get the war movie, you get the drama, and you get the blockbuster.
Yeah, and you know, Spielberg has made violent R-rated movies before, right? But and Graham and I talked about that, about the violence in Spielberg movies, and
sure did.
Yeah, so people should check that out. But Munich, to me, I mean, along with Schindler's List, and obviously, Saving Private Ryan, R-rated Spielberg is always very interesting to me because it's obviously not just for the sake of it, and the content of those movies earn that rating and earn their perhaps slightly more adult audience, but are strangely kind of, for a lot of them, it's kind of crucial that, I don't know, kids at a certain age see them. Perhaps in their mid-teens, you know, early to mid-teens, to sort of get an early understanding of those moments in history. And Munich might be last on the list in terms of, like, your kids should see this, right? But you could make an argument, though, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
It's part of history that people should be very aware of, and it makes comments on violence and nationalism that people should think and talk about, you know, pretty with some regularity. And Munich, for me, is the one that stands out among the rest because, you know, I think this is probably true for most Spielberg movies in that it gets better every time I watch it. And coincidentally, I get hooked every time I see it on cable and just watch the rest of it because it makes me think something differently about what it's trying to say every time. And the message that it sends home at the end of the movie, it just wallops me over the head. And just, again, it makes you think. And that is what is so important about these Spielberg movies, is that they deliver on this very basic level of just being exciting and having these big, huge set pieces and these, you know, moments of wonder. But there's so much depth to them, with especially films like Munich and Bridge of Spies and Minority Report. They're true commentaries, you know, on the modern world, and even if they take place decades ago and speak to that moment in time, they find really important messages about the culture that we live in today and apply them in really substantial ways that I think people should re-explore quite often.
Yeah, I mean, the whole post 9/11, I guess, really is probably a pretty big turning point for Spielberg. I mean, even if Minority Report, I mean, there's no way that, you know, they may have even been in post-production on that when 9/11 happened. But when you look at that movie and then you look at the Patriot Act and all the, you know, the security issues, and you're like, wow, like, how quickly is this so, you know, so timely? And then it continues with War of the Worlds, which I think is a fantastic look at terrorism and kind of reacting to a tragedy like that. But of course, the same year, Munich, which is kind of like his thesis on that whole thing. And then it continues with Bridge of Spies and even Lincoln with all these national, domestic and foreign policy things that are in these movies. So, yeah, it does. That seems to be a turning point, and where his movies became a little bit more specific with exactly what they're trying to talk about.
Yeah, and in War Horse, right? As my third pick, it's just to make the sort of dumb movie goer statement that it's, you know, rings true to me personally. It just feels like Spielberg. You know, it has that old school Spielberg feeling that I could acknowledge he had sort of distanced himself from, which we talked about earlier in this podcast. War Horse, to me, embodied all of those things that we had seen in his films leading up to that sort of transition he started to make as a storyteller. And I was just grateful that he hadn't lost that touch. And it just told a really wonderful story and made me feel good. And if nothing else, that's what I'd like to experience when I sit inside a dark movie theater on Christmas Day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it has that magical fairy tale quality that you get with E.T. or parts of even parts of The Color Purple. There's a Knight of the Hunter kind of aspect that I feel like to War Horse. Again, kind of a magical thing. And I like to look at War Horse as the third part of the trilogy with Jaws and Jurassic Park, where Spielberg uses animals to say something about humanity. And I feel like it's empathy is another one of those big Spielberg topics. And I feel like the way that he shows that in War Horse through the eyes of this animal that we're projecting, you know, our emotions onto it's really masterful. It's subtle. It's not an emotionally subtle movie, but I think in terms of structure and what it's trying to say, it's very subtle. And yeah, I agree. It has a magic that he doesn't usually go for, because it's not usually what the script calls for. You know, Bridge of Spies does not call for, you know, magic. It calls for reality and harsh investigation kind of, but War Horse, yeah, has this otherworldly, dreamy quality that, unfortunately, that's one on this list that I'm always baffled that people don't respond.
Oh, people hate on it. People hate on it. It's unbelievable. It's like old school Spielberg's not cool, right? Like it's not cool to feel good at the movies. Like, this is sappy garbage, you know? So,
yeah.
Like, what? What kind of person?
Yeah.
And it explores those themes of do the right thing, be a decent person, have core human values, right? You can think of so many different instances in that movie, obviously, with the lead character being the horse, Joey. But, I mean, with the humans, the kid helping his dad farm, right? The Tom Hiddleston making a promise to Jeremy Irvine, the French grandfather doing the right thing by giving the horse back to the kid, the British and German soldiers freeing Joey in the middle of the no man's land. You know what I mean? Just like these small, touching moments of human decency in the midst of carnage. It's just a really, it's just a really, really powerful film.
Yeah, and he doesn't hold back. You know, it's not like this is a sappy movie that keeps his kid gloves on. I mean, it's a brutal movie. And yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like the main complaint that so many people have against Spielberg is this kind of shallow sentimentality. And I'll agree that there's some sentimentality in all of his movies, so maybe more in others. But there's nothing, I don't think there's anything shallow about Spielberg in terms of, in terms of subtext, in terms of what he's trying to get across visually. I feel like every character in any of his movies, you know, is thinking, you know, on several dimensions. It does have an interior life, does want something, and does want more than what they're saying they want, you know. And I think that that's something that, again, kind of going back to what I was saying at the beginning, we get so nerd hyped for a Tarantino movie or a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. But I feel like if we're getting hyped for what those guys do visually, then how are we not doing the same for Spielberg?
Yeah, we like you said, I mean, he's somehow become kind of underappreciated. And I think people just make assumptions that, you know, certain assumptions about Spielberg movies and sort of forget why he's Steven Spielberg. And, you know, even these days, so many years after the films that initially made him Steven Spielberg, we just kind of let it go and just chalk it up to, hey, he's just Steven Spielberg. There's no need to acknowledge these things. We already know these things about him without really truly appreciating and understanding that, wait, no, he's still doing that, and he's doing it a little differently in some cases.
Exactly. Well, you brought up Scorsese earlier, and I guess that that's a really great place to leave it, in saying that just like Scorsese is kind of, you know, really taking it you know, taking it to special places at the later part of his career. I think in both of these cases, we should be very thankful every time we get a new film from them. You know, I mean, they're not going to be around forever. Whether they retire or anything else, it's these guys make movies for the big screen, and we get very limited options to see their movies on the big screen. So, you know, while we have the chance to see new work from these, you know, masters, I think everybody should jump on it. And, you know, if Bridge of Spies is still playing somewhere and somebody hasn't seen it, go see it.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.